Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome back Roy Anthony Shabla. Roy is a spiritual consultant and healer, a meditation teacher, and a feng shui master. He has a private practice in the Los Angeles area, leads international workshops for practitioners, and lectures on spiritual healing. He is also founder of BlessTheWorld.com, who has developed a line of spiritual remedies. He has been meditating and writing since childhood. He has some wonderful poetry books out and a spiritual workbook on cooking called Karma Cookbook. I almost stumbled over that one. Excerpts of his books have been published in his monthly newsletter at www.blesstheworld.com. So let's welcome Roy back to the show and see how he's doing. Hello, Roy. How are you?
Hello. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, too. Speaking of the New Year, a lot of people seem to think that this is a pretty portentous time. And I was wondering if you had any ideas about what's coming in this year. Do you have any predictions or prophecies?
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
I always feel optimistic at the new year. And I think that it's a natural human tendency to feel optimistic at this time. It's a new beginning. Mm-hmm. And a lot of years don't really pan out as being wonderful. Mm. And the last one may be quite an example for some people. Other people did well. Mm. For this year, it seems that everyone will have a decent year and some people will have fantastic years.
Oh.
In Chinese astrology, we have a very fortuitous combination of numbers,
okay,
which pertain to good luck no matter what.
Oh, right.
So even in situations where you have bad luck, it can be turned around to being a good situation for you if you're able to see it in that way. For a lot of people, there will be an abundance of money this year.
Mm.
And the interesting thing about that prediction is that economic forecasts say just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the population has been talking about us being in a recession, finally, the news is actually admitting that, you know, things are kind of bad out there.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Greenspan's book that came out 6 months ago says that George Bush has done a great disservice to the American people that will follow us for about 15 years, that
mm-hmm.
the economy is so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the effects will be lasting. But in our predictions for this year, we see something different than that. We see abundance.
Okay.
We see joy in a way. And the interesting thing about abundance is that sometimes it pertains to being able to put food on the table and pay your rent and those kinds of things.
Mm.
And sometimes it pertains to luxuries. And it doesn't seem like it logically, but we should be able to afford luxuries this year.
No kidding. Wow.
Some of the businesses that are going to do very well pertain to the earth,
uh-huh.
and there was actually a pottery auction in Southern California today, and the prices went through the roof.
Wow.
Now, the pottery prices in fine art have been very slow for the last 5 years,
uh-huh.
but already at the beginning of this year, we're seeing things, you know, more than we've been able to get for them in quite a while.
Mm.
Other things that pertain to the earth are like jewelry, gemstones.
Okay.
So if people are buying those kinds of things, those are luxury items. We are going to see an abundance or economic upturn, not upturn because it has been rising already in art.
Okay.
We've seen the art market defy the economy, that it continues to rise.
Yeah.
Forecast just came out that said, and I think it was a fear for, as most forecasts are based in fear,
right,
that the art market is 6 months behind our regular economy and that in 6 months it will drop. But in the feng shui this year, we see the Chinese astrology showing us money for the artist,
uh-huh.
for the writer, for people buying artwork, especially books, anything that's four-sided, such as a traditional painting or drawing,
mm-hmm.
And we are seeing also an abundance for, once again, artists who are working in ceramics and artists who are working in metal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in my Feng Shui workshop, which I have workshops coming up in February in Los Angeles, Sunday the 17th,
uh-huh.
and in Berkeley or Oakland, Saturday the 23rd. That information's on my website. And hopefully after that in Dallas. But if you come to the workshop, I'll be able to show you how a combination of numbers in one large section of the house pertains to this abundance and sort of luxury and graciousness.
Mm.
And I know that I'm saying these words, you know, with the newspaper saying that, you know, house prices are worse than they've ever been,
mm-hmm.
and a downturn in the economy, and the stock market doesn't know if it's up or down,
mm-hmm.
and primarily it's down, et cetera, et cetera. And so those kinds of things make us optimistic, besides that it's just a new year in itself and that we can all start over and have a better year.
Mm-hmm.
We see some other interesting things, actually. There are always famous people in the news. In fact, it seems like our news in the United States is more about famous people than it is actually about news.
Yeah.
And it looks like that someone who's very famous will have a huge disaster.
Oh.
Yeah. And it seems like there will be, it's most likely a woman or involved with a woman.
Uh-huh.
And there will be another sort of tragedy among a famous woman, someone who is very near and dear to the public's heart,
huh.
and it's something similar to Princess Di, where the whole world, you know, their heart grieves, or their heart goes out to the
wow.
family. For women in general, this is going to be a year to be very careful of surgeries that are elective.
Okay.
You should not go into surgeries lightly. You should also be aware of your finances. Because while there is abundance, you can be cheated.
Mm-hmm.
You can also physically be robbed, you know, in a mugging kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be careful of any unsafe places and sharpness in that way.
Okay.
On the other hand, what is considered the oldest daughter, and so young girls, basically, but the oldest daughter of the family,
mm-hmm.
can almost accomplish anything she wants.
Wow.
It is going to be a year where she can, whatever she sets her heart on, wherever her sights are, whatever goals, she can surpass them.
Okay.
For the youngest, for the oldest boy in the family, there is romance. There is doing well in studies. In fact, anyone who's a serious student can do better this year than expected.
Well, that's good.
But especially for the oldest boy in the family, scholarship is available if they apply themselves, and romance, especially the first, like, real strong love, can come into their lives.
Mm.
We also see that the man of the house, the father of the family,
mm-hmm.
needs to be very aware of his health.
Hmm.
There are bone and teeth issues.
Hmm.
There are other physical health issues that are problematic for the man of the house.
Hmm.
If he is not married,
mm-hmm.
there is the possibility of marriage for single older men this
really?
Year.
Really? Wow.
But there are definitely health concerns to be aware of.
Hmm.
But the general feng shui has to do for this year with abundance and money.
Wow.
And just so much optimism is based on this one section of the feng shui that, stimulated properly, should make life much more gracious for people.
Wow. So I have read a little bit about feng shui, and, you know, I'd really need to redo my house, and that would be a good way to do it. Does it really work? And how does
it
work?
Oh, absolutely it works.
What is it? Aligning the different properties, the different elements in the house?
Well,
water.
First off, there are a number of different kinds of feng shui.
Okay.
So what I'm talking about right now is astrological.
Oh, okay. All
and the Chinese astrology changes every double hour, so their hours are what we consider 2 hours long.
Okay.
It changes every month, and it changes every year.
Huh.
So I'm talking about the annual astrology,
okay,
which affects different positions in your home or in any structure.
Okay. And this is
there is also a form of astrology that, a form of feng shui that is what I consider permanent treatments, structural treatments, form school. And this pertains to where you put your bed, where you put your furniture,
okay,
that you're leaving it permanently. Your sofa's going to always be here.
Okay.
If the door opens in a certain way, what you have to do to the wall, if the window is in a certain place, etc. Those are permanent things. But we also do annual treatments that we change every year to make benefit of all of the affirmative things that I was just talking about,
okay,
and to help cure all the negative things that I was just talking about.
Okay. Now, since we're still looking at the overall picture, what about the political scene? Do you have any information on that?
Well, you know, first off, I'm not a political person, and I'm not a very good political person. I was in another realm when all of that was going on in grade school, learning how a bill is passed and laws and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was in the ether, so I'm not good about that.
Okay.
And when it comes to the astrology of the feng shui,
yeah,
when we are looking at this aspect, what you want to think of is 60 years ago. So 60 years ago was 1948.
Okay.
So in 1948, we're at the end of World War II.
Right.
Okay. Things were much more optimistic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The economy was starting to recover.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you remember the old movies from those times, everyone was in a nightclub and happy and singing, even if they were still in uniform. They were either coming back from the war as it was winding down, or it just seemed like we had much more of a handle on things.
Yeah.
And because of
happy
the
time.
War industry in the United States, the economy was better. So in the political sense, we want to look at the tone of the period at that time and set the tone for this time.
Hmm.
So when you look at the political candidates that are coming up, the presidential candidates, you want to look for someone who has that optimism.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because that was a time of optimism. Any new year is a time of optimism, and the astrology for this year has a great amount of optimism.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And so, for you, I'm not a good one to talk about this because I'm almost like an outside observer, so I can say, you know, certain things, but I offend everybody. And I mean, basically, a lot of people in the United States are one-issue voters. If you're a Republican, your one issue is taxes.
Right.
Okay. There can be a whole slew of everything going on in the world, but if there is a candidate who says, I will lower your taxes, I will help you to keep your money, I have a track record of helping you keep your money, the Republicans vote for that person.
Right.
The Democrats, on the other hand, are much more interested in social issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The interesting thing about Democrats, and once again, I offend everybody, is that they are concerned about poverty and hunger and homelessness. They don't actually want to do anything about it themselves, so they vote for a government that will do this stuff for us.
Mm.
The other interesting thing about, in my opinion at least, Democrats, is that, of course, some have money and some don't, but they don't feel stable about their finances.
Mm.
So by ensuring social programs, they're sort of hedging a bet just in case they don't quite hold on to their own finances, and they may need some of those.
Mm. Okay.
But when it comes to politics, I really have only two issues, and I'm only political because those two issues force you to be political, and that is war,
right,
for which I'm against.
Right.
And the earth, for which I'm in favor.
Okay.
And I have a long history of this. Since I was a child, I have worked for both of these things. And so if a Republican sees me and wants to talk about politics, which, once again, I'm not good at,
right.
I say, well, which one of these people is going to stop the war?
Right. Okay.
Well, but aren't you interested in taxes and what you pay? But that's not what interests me.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
going to pay taxes.
Right.
And what it fluctuates is karma. And
yeah.
who we have that makes that you pay this amount or that amount, all of those kinds of things are karma that are a group thing that I believe the United States participates in.
Yep.
And I channeled, back before George Bush,
mm-hmm.
and I said, if we do this, it is a karma on the American people
mm-hmm.
that will be lasting, which is what now the economists are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the American people did, obviously, as you know, voted George Bush in twice.
Yeah, I know.
But when it comes to the issues, the Republicans think I'm nuts. The Democrats don't necessarily think I'm nuts. They almost think I'm kind of one of them because saving the earth and wanting to stop the war is a much more liberal aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But I, once again, am not drawn into the other issues
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that they have political interest in. And so I ultimately end up alienating them also. You know, if you're an older Democrat, you are interested in Medicare.
Yeah.
If you're a younger Democrat, maybe with a new family, you're interested in education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I'm much more radical than that. First off, I believe that our education system would be better if our parents were more educated and took an interest in their children's lives.
Very well, that goes without saying.
And I think that we should have some sort of socialized medicine.
Oh, yes.
Like other countries, that are civilized and happy. And
yes.
Let's touch
on that for a second about the medicine, because since you're a healer also, and I do some healing work on the side myself for, pro bono work. That's something that puzzles me because, as you said, other countries have free medical care for everyone, and
yeah.
they're doing it.
Yeah.
And they have modernized, upgraded databases, all over the country that tie into each other.
Yeah.
It just seems that, no matter how who tries to pull that off, they just can't make any progress. And we know that has a large, that's largely due to the fact that the pharmaceutical companies and so on, the people that make money off of illness, are blocking any kind of legislation that would lead towards their losing any of their profits. So,
well, absolutely that is part of it.
Yeah.
But what we seem to forget in this country is that those countries, Denmark,
mm-hmm.
France,
mm-hmm.
most of them, not all.
And there's some South American countries.
They have 40% tax, income tax, 50%. Denmark has like 60-some percent of their income goes to taxes.
Yeah.
Of course, they are the happiest people in the world. It was just in a study somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they pay over 60% of their income to taxes. But they don't have to worry about anything.
Well, that is a trade-off.
Okay. And so they seem to be able to afford homes and foods mm-hmm. and gracious lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
But here, once again, half of our country is Republican. They do not want to pay more taxes.
Well, there's something else going on, too, and that is that I think that things have changed. The old paradigm of a dual-party system has really altered and shifted, and we really don't know what things are anymore because the energies on the planet have changed, they've shifted, and that dual-party system, which is basically the same party,
is true. You can go back and say, someone like Abraham Lincoln was a Republican.
Right.
And yet we think of him as someone who's very liberal and forward-thinking.
Right,
as opposed
right.
to we think of Republicans as being conservative, a really stable, not radical about finances and that kind of thing. So you're right. What the name of the party is has changed a lot in perspective. But there's something that has changed socially in our country, and it's there's information that we have and we don't make use of. And if you remember the movie A Beautiful Mind,
mm-hmm, yeah,
he was, you know, a famous thinker, basically a philosopher. And what he became famous for was the idea that if you do what is best for the whole group,
mm-hmm,
you are actually doing what's best for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he really expounds on this and explains it very well on, you know, and he's talking about, you know, three guys trying to pick up girls in a bar.
Mm.
And
right,
if the one that's going to be able to pick up any girl he wants goes straight for the one, the other ones will sort of get evened out and someone's going to do, you know, and if the other girls aren't matched up with a guy, the one that's the hottest one is going to maybe not want to leave her girlfriends alone, so nobody gets lucky.
Yeah, and he came up with a whole theory of economics, which won some Nobel Prizes or something, didn't he?
Absolutely.
And now, doesn't that translate into the ideas of service to self versus service to others?
Well, what he explains is that service to others is the best service to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
But what we don't seem to understand is that whole idea, because we are much more interested in service of ourselves directly.
Right, right.
And so in the smaller sense, we become smaller human beings, basically.
Mm. And
you
then,
know, not expanded human beings, not gracious.
Yes, and then there's the whole division between materialism and spiritual.
Well, the division between materialism and spiritual can in some ways be much more of a mental thing, and there are spiritual people who have a great amount of abundance, and there are spiritual people who, no matter how hard they work or try in their businesses or whatever it is, cannot seem to ever get ahead.
Well, but don't you feel that you know, that anything that's truly felt in the heart, especially spiritual qualities, are stronger than if it's just in the head?
Well, yes, I do. But I also believe that when it comes to spiritual issues,
uh-huh,
and people who are quote unquote spiritual,
right,
who are attempting at least to have, not to be judgmental, but a more evolved spirituality.
Right, right.
A sort of higher vibration of spirituality.
Okay.
What they seem to forget is then you are working with energies that are not as grounded, that are not as base, that are not as materialistic. So going back to the Chinese New Year, to Feng Shui workshop, etc.,
uh-huh,
the Chinese have a whole hierarchy of gods.
Huh.
And the highest gods are vegetarian.
Huh.
The lower gods, they make animal meat offerings to.
Huh.
And what sometimes spiritual people seem to forget is that you're asking a very high ethereal spiritual being,
yeah,
to help you with something that is, you know, base. And so if you want more money, more physical, earthly kinds of stuff,
uh-huh,
you need to be talking to those gods. And you wonder, and, you know, we'll sit and we'll look, that person's not a good person, and yet, you know, everything they touch in business works for them.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know, well, because they've got lower base gods,
uh-huh,
and that's the realm that those gods work in.
Huh.
And if you are working in the ethers, you are going to do well on that level. But you have been ignoring the other deities, the other divinities, the other whatever aspect you want to call it.
Hmm.
And so if you want something at a certain vibration, you need to work on that vibration.
Okay, to get the balance.
I was, many, many years ago, I was giving a workshop and about the chakras, and someone who, you know, was trying to practice a spiritual life and basically a psychic life and a meditative life, et cetera, et cetera,
uh-huh,
was talking about a certain, I want to say it was money, for example. And she said, well, I opened my heart to this and I wear affirmations and an amulet on my heart, and I, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, but the heart doesn't have anything to do with abundance.
Right.
It's not a money, you know, in the prosperity. Those are your lower chakras.
Right,
you're working from the wrong place.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So if you want abundance in that physical money sense, you need to start with the lowest chakra.
Uh-huh.
And work from there, and the second chakra and the third for, you know, business. And it was just such a shocking idea to this person, and I couldn't understand why.
That makes sense.
But yes, but it makes perfect logical sense. But we sort of impose this idea of God is great, God is good, God will take care of the neighborhood. But, you know, God, in the universal sense of one God, is such a multitude of vibrations that you want something at this level, you tap into that level.
Okay.
You can't be going to the farthest edges of the universe and asking for, you know, something about a hangnail.
A new car.
Yes, exactly. You're dialing the wrong phone number. Okay.
Good one. I like that.
So when we're talking about, God, I don't even remember what we were talking about. Politics, wasn't it?
Well, let's keep going before we forget.
Yeah, exactly. But actually, in my Feng Shui workshop, so the reason that we do the things that we do, that we are putting coins in this area, that we are putting gemstones in this area, is to work with these different vibrations at different vibrational levels. And that is what the Astrological Feng Shui Workshop is about.
Okay.
So it seems like crazy woo-woo juju, but there's really a very scientific, mathematical concept going on.
Mm.
And it has a definite logic to it. It's not just, you know, out there, airy-fairy.
Mm. And
it may not be science that, you know, Western American scientists approve of or validate, but nevertheless, it is very effective. And when you stop to think about Feng Shui, the original idea in China goes back to a concept that having five generations living in the home is mm-hmm. good luck. So, which means you would be living with your grandparents
mm-hmm.
and your grandkids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is considered fortuitous.
Hmm.
Now, Feng Shui was designed to make this happen, okay? Which basically means healthy families, which basically means a great population. Well, for how many years now has China been overpopulated that they are only allowed to have one child?
That's right.
That is how good the Feng Shui works.
Huh.
Okay? There are other countries, and China was never a wealthy country. I mean, their history is one of great, great, great poverty, except for the emperors.
Oh, yeah.
But the common people lived in great poverty, just horrible, horrible. And other countries and other races of people disappeared who lived this way or have not become any kind of a viable force in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, African countries, for example, some of these are just barely, you know, hanging on. So I think that this is really a tribute to the long-term effects of Feng Shui, that it does work. And so when I say certain things that are happening this year, you know, it may not be that you as a painter are going to sell 5 million of your paintings this year. But in general, art is going to be up. Art is going to be emphasized. Art is going to have a glorious light around it. And that includes writers.
Oh, my book.
This is going to be a good year for poets.
I've got to plug my book here.
Yes, absolutely.
This is going to
be a good year for promoting your book.
All right.
You know, my book of poetry, the first one, I can't give it away.
Really?
Okay? It has had rave reviews. It has been, you know, people down worshiping it, hands and knees.
Uh-huh.
It is used as a teaching tool. et cetera, et cetera, you know, right down the line.
Which one is that? What's the name of that one?
Eating God.
I have that right in front of me.
Eating God
is a wonderful poetry book.
It is. I mean, and of course it's by me, so you want to take everything I say with a grain of salt, even if it's not about my work.
Right.
But when I go back and look at it, I'm like, you know what? That's not so bad. That's pretty darn good.
No, it really is. It blew me away.
And this can be a year that it starts to get attention.
Mm.
Okay, this is a year that it will, the writing, that writers, that poets also, because of the romance involved with the oldest son, there's also that aspect of poetry involved in that, that it can really be a time when we see more emphasis in these things. Now,
good.
When poetry is strong in society, it's either one of two things. Poetry is strong in society when the economy is great.
Uh-huh.
So you want to think of the 60s when people had money, and that's why we were much more liberated. You know, there was the sexual revolution. There was, and what's that?
I said there were also drugs. That kind of contributed to the liberation.
And the other time when poetry is prominent in society is when we are in a really bad situation, such as war, like the Vietnam War. Well, and you see people like Bob Dylan coming into the forefront. The poets.
And so a lot of
the poets that we hold dear right now are from this period.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But there hasn't been really much, that whole cultural wave of the Peter, Paul, and Marys and all of that, although they're still alive, and they might even be still performing, it seems that we're kind of due for a renaissance.
We are absolutely due for a renaissance.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
And so so this is the energy that I'm looking for when we think of the Summer of Love and the wonderful energy that everybody, you know, either literally or pharmaceutically or spiritually, were high.
Yeah. Oh, good.
People were high, and this is the kind of optimism I have about this year.
Wonderful.
And as we're coming into it.
Great.
And so I think that highness, you know, hopefully from coming to my meditation class, from using my spiritual remedies, etc., I'm hoping that highness really makes a great change in the world. Not only stopping the war,
right?
Not only stopping, not only our war, but the injustices all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the issues that we have with global warming and global dimming and global et cetera. That is, you know, it started out that nobody believed that this was true.
Mm.
And now you can't deny that it's not true.
Mm.
So now the big thing is about you're not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big thing became, well, you say that you're green, but you don't really, you know, but you have so many practices that are not green, quote unquote green.
Uh-huh.
For example, you know, the hybrid cars.
Uh-huh.
So now it's being said that, okay, the hybrid cars are using less gasoline. You know, there are gasoline cars that have zero emissions. Okay, so it's not so much about the emissions as it is the use of the petroleum.
Right.
Right?
Right.
To make a hybrid car, the parts are flown to China, flown to somewhere else, shipped to somewhere else, and it travels the world so many times before it gets to you.
That
all of that traveling is using the gas that you are saving in, like, you know, 30 years or something. I don't know what it is. And so these things that we think are green are actually not necessarily helping us.
Right.
And it boils down to the idea that you know, like I was saying about the Democrats, we actually need to do something instead of voting for something to do something.
Yes. That kind of gets to the essence of the core of the issue, doesn't it?
And I know that you're in Northern California.
Uh-huh.
And Northern California and Southern California are like North Pole and South Pole. They could not be farther apart.
Whatever do you mean?
Well, for example, in L.A., you can't live without a car.
Right.
And part of that is the circumstances of the geography, and that is not necessarily the fault of the population.
No, I've lived there, and you're right. You can't live there without a car.
But in the Bay Area...
Right. You could.
People, well, not only you could, but people make a commitment to, I am not driving.
Right.
I am riding a bike. I know people up there who will refuse to drive.
Mm.
I know people up there who say, I will only drive 2 days a week, and I will, you know, make do other ways, or, you know, cut down my errands, or whatever it is. But in Southern California, you don't see people making that kind of a commitment. Do you see what
I'm
saying?
Yes, I do. Now
and
I
so
it.
I think that it's the country as a whole, and the world as a whole, needs to not depend on, okay, I now have a car, and God bless the people who are buying these cars. But we need to understand, it's not necessarily saving the planet.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We need to now not drive that car as much.
Right. And change, shift from the illusion of doing something productive to really doing something productive.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with our political system in the United States, because it's all...
It's
about you do this so I can be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that's okay with my money, or if that's okay with my conscience, or whatever your political, you know, leanings is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so about me again, you know, my spiritual remedies, the blessthebody.com spiritual remedies, the interesting thing about them is that they will make the adjustment in you that is the best thing for you. And I mean that in the sense of the best thing for your higher self, the best thing for your spiritual self. So we're talking about the different levels of deities, the different vibrations.
Okay.
And when everyone will say, oh, do I have guides? Well, of course you do. Do you have guardian angels? Do I have... All of these kinds of things. As you evolve as a spiritual person, you have guides who are also more highly evolved.
Okay.
So that you are constantly progressing. Okay?
Okay.
So the higher the vibration that your guides are, the less concerned they are about your physical needs.
Okay.
Okay?
That makes sense. I'm with you so far.
So, when you look at my remedies, and someone will use a remedy, for example, to remove the blockage to abundance, okay? And if you look at the testimonials on the website, there are amazing stories about people who use this spray, and abundance just came into them like crazy.
Huh.
And there are stories, which are not on the website, about people who use this same spray, and they are still working, you know, they're not on the street, they're not anything like that.
Yeah.
But they want to be, you know, the millionaire or the billionaire or the Donald Trump or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And the difference is, what vibration are you working on?
Uh-huh.
My remedies are going to go to your highest good.
Now, how does that work? And
How does that work?
Yeah.
It can be a little bit difficult to explain.
Well, try.
The remedies are very complex.
All right.
They have many, 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 many ingredients in them. And just as a remedy maker, and there are remedy makers in the world who do wonderful things,
yeah.
Anyone who is a remedy maker knows that you can only put a few ingredients into a remedy and still have it effective.
Okay.
And a lot of remedies that you buy will be one or two ingredients. You'll be hard-pressed to find something with more than seven ingredients.
Okay.
And mine can have 1,000.
Huh.
Okay, they can, some even more. Some are more...
Perceptible to the five senses, right?
Well, the five senses in what realm? You know, at what level, you know, how focused are you on paying attention? In some ways, none, you know, it's like the tip of the iceberg. You will, you know, get wet And so you perceive wetness.
Yeah.
And so you are perceiving that.
Okay, well, now give me an example. For instance, something that has more than 20 ingredients, what might some of those ingredients be without actually giving away your secret?
So all of them have more than 20. They all have homeopathics in them.
Okay.
They all have gemstones.
Okay.
They all have flower essences.
Okay.
They all have, I guess I would call them starlight or planets, astrological essences.
Now, how do you get those?
There are different ways of getting them. There are certain people who make individual ingredients where they rent high-powered telescopes, and they remove the viewing lens and have it trained on a certain star or planet, whatever it is that they're making, and it, you know, takes, I believe it takes the entire night to do it.
Okay.
And the energy is focused into a bowl of water, which is how flower essences are made and how some of these other essences are made, that it's focused into a water and you have a mother tincture. And so some of the ingredients I do buy from other people.
Okay.
And some of them I make myself. Some essences I do formulate similar to what I just described.
Uh-huh.
And then there are also, there's chanting. There are geometric forms.
Uh-huh.
There are just affirmations and, you know, focusing on things such as love or peace or different colors.
Well, for instance, one thing I think a lot of people have heard of is Japanese, well, I can't remember his name right now, but you'll think of it. The one that found the power of water.
The message in the water is his book.
And
brilliant. And that's a nice example of science finally catching up with our sort of voodoo science.
And literally proving that
what we're doing exists.
Yes.
And what you see in those photographs is similar. The whole concept is similar or the same as what my sprays are about. One idea in each one that he did, and mine are more complex.
Matsuru Emoto, I think. Now, just for the listeners so that they know, I'll just give you a brief rundown on what he did. He was able to, I guess, freeze particles of water, and this was distilled water, and he also took it from various places, and then he would put just a label on the bottle, which be something like love, beauty, and so on, and leave it there overnight. And then he would re-photograph using an electron microscope these crystals, and they were completely altered. And he took polluted water and put the message of love on it, and it would turn into these beautiful. And you can see the pictures. You know, they're right there in his book on the air, on the line.
Exactly. And they. So what was happening was the molecular structure of the water was changing.
It was blessed in a
based sense. On the blessing that it was given. And he did it with monks chanting.
Yes.
He did it, as you're saying, with just putting a label on it, writing love.
Yes. And then conversely, this is what was interesting too, is that words like hate or Hitler or created just a kind of a chaotic, horrendous pattern that just was, it had no beauty to it.
Exactly.
It's quite fascinating. They highlighted that in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know Anyway, which is an excellent DVD or film to watch, you know, because they go into a lot of the quantum physics things, which is what you're talking about.
Yes. And so when you can see the coherence and the beautiful formations of the water after just one thing, such as love, then, because the electron microscope can only photograph it at that physical level.
Right.
Now, what you need to understand, that the same way that our physical bodies have a spiritual component to them.
Right.
So I think that, you know, just in your line of work, you believe that we have chakras and auras.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You believe that our our vibration and resonance is greater than our physical body.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So he's photographing that water only at the physical level. If you were able to photograph these things orically.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And see the spiritualized
matter. And see the spiritual aspect to them.
Yes.
You would get an even more dynamic example of what it really means to affect this water.
Now, well, can you see on that level, or can you, you know, are you able to tell when something is affected in that way?
Well, I'm working with my water on those levels.
Okay.
And if I focus in a certain way, and it's all about meditation, yes, I can go into whatever dimension it is to look at that, but in some ways that's much more of a vaudeville act. And I'm much more concerned in actually the efficacy of it.
Right, right.
And so what I'm doing with some of these waters is some of these will work in your past lives.
Oh.
You know, there will be people that will go to past life regression for a healing.
Yeah.
And there are certain remedies that will help with that. My first aid spray, which is probably my biggest seller, will work on childhood traumas, will work on past life traumas. Mm. But if you cut your finger right now, or get a spider bite, or get into a car crash, it will change things almost immediately.
Mm. Interesting.
And so, you know, I'm working in these other realms with them, in other dimensions. The green light, which, you know, because of the, should we say, fascism of our American Medical Association, you know, which, of course, they don't talk about it being having anything to do with healing. Basically,
right.
It's medicine. Not sweet medicine, but really harsh.
Right.
But because of the fascism, they would be concerned if I used words like cancer. Okay? And I've spoken out publicly about this for 10 or more years in my lectures, that community does not own a vocabulary. And for a natural or a spiritual practitioner who deals in healing, we are not allowed to say certain words on threat of jail, on threat
right.
of,
that's right.
you know,
right.
whatever.
That's
and
right.
But they do not own this vocabulary. They do not own the word kidney. They do not own the word cancer. They may be referring to something differently than I'm referring to, but nevertheless, I am still able to use these words.
Mm.
Especially, I mean, I'm not, once again, I'm not political, but I do know what the First Amendment is.
Yeah, right, right.
And so if you think
today.
Of something such as, and so just so that I don't cause trouble for people, we will say instead of cancer, we'll say the energy of cancer.
Okay.
Because a lot of times as a spiritual healer, we are talking about something that is not necessarily manifested physically.
Right, it's a spiritual or energetic.
And so in the spirit of that,
right, right.
we will talk about the energy of cancer. The green light, which is one of my sprays, which deals with harmony. It has a little bit to do with abundance. It has to do with the heart chakra. But an aspect of it is that it goes into the future. And this is really difficult for people to get their minds around.
Okay.
Because we think of time as actually being only where we are. We're very egocentrical. But that spray works in your energy field in the future to help prevent the energy of cancer.
Huh.
Okay? So it is not working on you if you're in cancer treatments right at this moment.
Okay.
All right? But if you have cancer right now, most likely you have it next month because you haven't cleared it yet.
Right.
Most likely you have it next year if you're still alive from medical treatments. Okay, so if you are using it, it's not healing you today. It's healing you in the future. Because
that.
You have already made a vibration of cancer that is denser, so it's manifested in the physical present. And this doesn't work on that. But if you are, by other means, clearing it in the physical present, that will help you from keeping it in, from bringing a future vibration of it into your present.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay. So if you don't have the challenge of cancer in your present life, by using it, it can help prevent you from walking into a future that has it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Now, you also work one-on-one with clients, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have private consultations. I have phone consultations. I have in-person. I do just about everything.
Tell me what you see. You've been practicing. You've been doing that for a while. Tell
yes.
me what you see in terms of the change of energies.
Pertaining to what?
The change of energies in terms of your clients. What is the nature of the problems or the realities that you see of people that are visiting you for assistance? Has that shifted over the years? Is it are people more awake? Are they?
It's an interesting question. It's kind of like when you see someone every day, you don't notice how they change. You don't notice that their hair's got gray or that they've gained 10 pounds or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you haven't seen them in a year or 2 years, it's like, oh, you look very different.
Yeah.
I do have clients that have been with me for many years.
Oh.
And they themselves will say that things have changed in their lives. They will also say that they still have some of the same issues from when they first came to me.
Okay.
Much of that is karmic. And a lot of the work that I do is based on karma. And is based on the idea that this problem isn't gone because you keep recreating it. And you are very consciously recreating it.
Yeah.
And everything that you are doing in your life is recreating it. And no matter how many times I talk to you about this, and no matter how many times I treat you for this, you are making the choices. And they know that they're making the choices, but their consciousness feels like it's the only choice they have or the better choice they have.
Oh.
And a lot of the times we make decisions based on what appears to be easier.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And
that's right. Even though in the long run.
Even in the long run, it's the most difficult thing.
Yes, yes.
And so most of my clients are women. Okay. Not all of them, but primarily they are women. Most of my clients have quote-unquote man issues. Okay?
Okay.
And throughout all the years, and if you're listening, I'm not talking to anyone in particular.
Right.
But a number of my women have been married to men that they were not in love with.
Oh, and that's a common one.
And we talk about this year after year, about leaving the husband, about starting a life, about finally being authentic.
Right, right.
And living, you know, their true life. But there's an awkwardness to it.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a messiness to it. There's the fear of being able to support yourself.
That's
even
right.
Ones that are, you know, financially pretty stable, they don't have confidence in that.
Well, yes, and you know, I'm sure you've seen this over and over, too, that there, in addition to that, some of the situations are actually harmful and abusive, and then a lot of times there are drugs involved as well, or addictions, which further complicate the matter.
Well, in the general population, yes, there is that. Luckily, I do not have people who are working from drug abuse and those kinds of things. Most of my people have evolved past that, either with me or before they've come to me.
Right.
And that's an interesting thing as a sidebar. I have a client, a really dear, dear woman, that credits me with her getting sober. She got completely sober from everything the week after I did Feng Shui on her
house. On her house.
On her house, yes. I did a private consultation on her house.
Wow.
And she was very open and ripe for it and very present for it and very, you know, some people they have you come over, but they're not present.
Right.
Or they don't really want to take your advice, which is fine as long as you pay me.
Right.
You don't have to listen to me. Seriously, because what you have to learn is that everyone is allowed to have their own karma.
Right.
You know, I'm not here to save the world.
Right.
You know what the bodhisattva is. The bodhisattva is the person who sells water by the river.
Huh.
So people come and they're thirsty.
Yeah.
but they can't see that the river is right there.
Yeah,
yeah. So you sell them water.
Right.
Okay?
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
People are allowed to have their karma. And people are, and I will just say, you do not have to leave your husband today.
Right.
You do not have to leave your husband ever. But you are talking about not being happy, about being miserable, in fact.
Yeah.
About, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you have these choices. And the choices, it seems easier right now because of the messiness, the awkwardness, the difficulty of leaving. But when you go through year after year after year,
it just becomes more difficult.
Of your actual light being dampened down.
Yes, absolutely. And not being true to yourself.
Of not being true and authentic.
Yeah.
Then, you know, what? How easier was that?
Yeah.
And I always use the idea, the Hindus believe that we go through hundreds of thousands of lifetimes to evolve our soul to liberation.
Mm.
Why? Because we're stupid. Seriously, we're really like mules.
Yeah.
When you think of someone who's not happy in a situation and they continue to stay there, and I'm not talking about, oh, I don't like this or that, but spiritually they know that this is not healthy for them.
Yeah.
That spiritually they have meditated. They are doing all of the kinds of things that are more evolved. It's not just a quick whim. And they still are unable to make the change.
And doesn't that also translate into career situations and
jobs? I have the exact same thing with people in careers.
Yeah, exactly, because there's so much, you know, once we get in a rut and those the neural net is created in our brains, it really seems difficult to make those changes. But I think you're right about this being a year when not only abundance, but an abundance of an ability to step out of ourselves is going to take place.
Well, this will be a year
of
the ability to make great transitions.
Yes.
If you sincerely want to.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I
so
agree.
I have a spray called the Karma Cleanse.
Oh.
And literally that one, and combined with one called Implant Cleanse, which is for really deep-seated problems, that it'll dislodge them and loosen them. But you use these sprays, and things will change in your life.
Wow.
That doesn't mean things are going to be this week happier or easier. In fact, sometimes with the Karma Cleanse and another one called Emotion Potion, things can really rattle because you've suppressed it so long. It's like a pot exploding.
Wow. Well, you know, I kind of think that the whole society is like that, too, that we're in a process of cleansing right now, and we have been for some time, and you know, that this is going to be a tremendous year for changes and shifts. This hour has flown by.
Yes, it has.
It's literally flown. I mean, we could keep going on here for a couple of hours. I hope that some of this has been helpful to the audience and that it's, if nothing else, it's been enjoyable.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed talking with you. And would you tell us what your website is again so that people can find you?
So the website for my remedies is blesstheworld.com.
Okay.
The spiritual remedies are called blessthebody.com.
Okay.
And my personal website is royanthonyshabla.com. And from there you can access my remedies, my newsletters, my poetry, my workshops, everything like that.
Wonderful. Well, Roy, thanks again for being on the show. It was really wonderful having you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always wonderful to talk with you.
Oh, thanks a million. And good night, everybody, and good night, Roy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.